Nike is changing some of its policies, and that has given me, Matty Ice, some ideas for how we can make sneakers popular again. So let's get into that this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome back to Fire Footwear, everybody. As always, this is your host, Matt Freites. Hope this finds everybody well. I want to thank you, as always, for coming out and listening to these episodes. It means the world to me. Last time I talked about Air Max Day, and I hypothesized that maybe it's getting a little bit lame, that the idea of it maybe is getting lost because younger people maybe don't care about it as much. I did receive some feedback on the episode, and a lot of people said, I love Air Maxes. And I would say that without knowing definitively, I think that a lot of people were older. And I think that that's fair. I think that that's perfectly reasonable because I love Air Maxes. A lot of the people that I know who are into sneakers love Air Maxes, and those people are on the older side. They've been in the game for a long time. It's the younger people I'm talking about. And this podcast always tries to look at the behaviors. I always try to give you a different viewpoint. Because when you look at sneaker content all over the place, a lot of people are doing a lot of the same thing. They're talking about pickups, they're talking about releases, they're doing a lot of reviews, things like that. I always want to get you to think a little bit differently, and I always think that the behaviors of people in the culture and companies that supply the culture with those sneakers, I think is part of how we can get a different perspective. I focus a lot on Nike because, quite frankly, it is firm in its place as number one in the space, and Nike has a lot of history. I think that Nike is probably more synonymous with sneaker culture overall than any of these other companies. I think Adidas is up there. Obviously, New Balance is getting there. But a lot of these companies that are new to the space now, they're more seen as running companies or athletic companies. And that is something that I think Nike was struggling with until Michael Jordan came along. Nike, though, recently made a couple of announcements regarding their footwear line that I thought were interesting. The first that they made was that they were going to be reworking kid sizes. And I feel like we should talk about that as a standalone episode regarding innovation because they talk about how these new innovations are going to come with a heftier price tag. I want to get into that later. So next time we're going to talk about innovation. So we're going to table that for now. But the second one I thought was interesting because it got me to thinking and it was related to this week's topic in the sense that they're going to be pulling back production of some of their more classic and revered models, as they said, in the name of innovation. And the one that they actually named was the Air Force One. And I think that the Air Force One is an interesting way to look at this. So Nike is looking at their line. They're looking at their sales, which I said corporations are going to do. They're going to look at the behaviors. And they're deciding to pull back on some of these models because they want to focus on innovation. The Air Force One is a classic in the history of sneakers. There's no denying that. It predates the Jordan 1. It has continued to be a staple of Nike's arsenal. If you go and look at the backbone of sneaker culture, if you look at Nike's, I think that Air Force Ones have to be up there because a lot of people love Air Force Ones. They're a shoe that you can always rely on. You can always have them in your collection. You can always pick them up. They can go with just about anything. And even though they don't come with a lot of hype, even though if you go to GOAT or StockX, you're not going to find a lot of models that people are just salivating over and paying these high prices on, honestly, I feel like they have been buoying sneaker culture in a lot of ways. And so on the surface, pulling the model from the shelves seems to be a move that kind of feels like Nike is trying to take away something from the sneaker community and our pursuit of shoes because we've always been able to get it. Now, the thing that's interesting is usually you don't miss something until it's gone. And that line of thinking got me thinking about our idea for this week. And I want to dig a little bit deeper into Nike's decision here because I think that it brings up an idea that may actually save sneaker culture. And I've had this idea for a long time, and I feel like I've probably seen a lot of other people. And this idea, in my opinion, could save sneaker culture because I'm concerned that the younger generation just isn't going to care. And if the younger generation doesn't care, that means that we, the people that are listening to this right now, when we become too old, that means the sneakers are just going to die off. The company that I want to use as an example is Disney, because up until the release of the Disney Plus streaming service, Disney was infamous for having what they called their home video vault. And the idea was that a movie would become available for public purchase for a short amount of time, and then Disney would famously put them in the Disney vault. They would have commercials about, oh, this is going into the vault soon, you should get your copy and things like that. And I think the idea was you felt like you had a limited time to get this in your collection, because if you loved it that much, then you had to have it. And I feel like that drove up a lot of hype and desire for certain titles because of the fact that they felt unattainable. They would put these movies in the vault for 10 years. So if you were young when The Little Mermaid came out, weren't able to get it on VHS at the time, and then they put it in the vault, you had to wait until 1999 or 2000, however long it was. There were no streaming services back then. And honestly, I think that that allowed Disney to become this giant, and people felt a certain way, and that nostalgia really drove them to want to purchase these things when they finally did release. Of course, they would come out for a short amount of time, they get put back in the vault, and that's how the system ran up until Disney Plus, when now everything is available. But I ask you, what if we applied that to sneakers? And you might be thinking, that's crazy. What are you talking about? In 2024, to me, it's undeniable that certain sneaker models have become stale within the culture. And I'm not even just talking about the fact that people aren't wearing them. I'm talking about the fact that they release so many of them that it is impossible for them to remain hyped. And I think there are a lot of models that fit this criteria, because if you look at people who are buying things, if you look at how often sneakers are being released, look at how often models are being used, to me, it's undeniable that the companies have oversaturated the market with a lot of these models to the point that I feel like the original allure of them has become lost. Because when you see something over and over and over again, it just becomes not as special. There's only so many ways in which you could take the same looking shoe, put different colors materials on it to make me and the rest of sneaker culture feel like it's something different. And one of the biggest problems plaguing sneaker culture today, it is not the people that are in it today. It's the people that are going to be in it tomorrow and 10 years from now and 20 years from now. And again, we've talked about in episodes before that resale could possibly be the way to save the future of sneakers. Resale undeniably provides the culture with a sense of global desirability in that something that is expensive on GOAT or StockX, people then see that as something that everybody in the culture wants, that the culture feels a certain way about it. And I think that it allows for a long-term want for people if they think that it's popular, they think that it's something that people desire. And so while GOAT and StockX sucks for the fact that it's really hard to get shoes, and you then have to think about paying these exorbitant prices in some cases, it does, underneath all of that, make it so that sneakers become popular and something that people talk about. And I think at the height of the pandemic is really when we saw this come to a fever pitch, because resale culture skyrocketed during this time, because globally, due to the pandemic, resources were scarce. And it wasn't even just physical resources, but by extension, commodities like sneakers then became coveted because it felt attainable when the necessities of the world, and I'm not even talking about paper towels and toilet paper, but the necessities of love, connection, things like that, they felt like they weren't attainable at the time. And as the pandemic went on, we saw, especially in 20, 21, and even part of 22, man, resale culture went up. Every single shoe sold out. People wanted everything that came out, no matter how ugly they thought it was. And people were making money hand over fist doing reselling. And I can't blame anybody for that, because that's what happened. That's the market. You got to take advantage. But as the world has opened up over the last couple years, I think sneaker companies have continued to treat the sneakers as if they are that coveted. But we, the culture, are not coveting them in the same way. We're being more selective in what we're choosing. There are exceptions, of course, but for the most part, I think we are more apathetic to a lot of the sneakers that come out compared to the way we once felt, because Travis Scott's are getting panned on social media but are selling out because they're obviously more limited. But I think people are kind of out on that too. I think that people are feeling a little bit less hyped about them than they did in 2019, 2020, 2021. And the idea that I have now is that perhaps sneaker companies can sort of feign this scarcity by intentionally keeping models out of sale for a period of time. I think that this would add a refreshing element to it, because if we know that we're not going to be able to pick up a model for 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, what would we do with that information? We would actually want a shoe even more, especially if it was an entire model that was going into the vault. And what would companies do? I think companies would start to actually prioritize making good colorways, incentivizing buyers to be less apathetic and more proactive in buying them. I'll give you a real-world example of this, and I think we've seen this in action. Let's take the Jordan 2. The Jordan 2 had gotten just about no love since its initial release. There obviously had been retros here and there, but in terms of this resale culture, you didn't see a lot of Jordan 2s. It was long forgotten, underappreciated. It had a little bit of a resurgence. It came back, collaborations were done on it, some OG colorways came out, and people wanted them and wanted to have them. Now, though, it's kind of gone back to being forgotten. You don't see as many Jordan 2s. It had a very small moment. If we focus on Jordan specifically, there are a lot of models that would benefit from this, and some of them aren't necessarily as underappreciated as the 2, but could benefit. The 2, I think, benefited from having that lengthy period where it was not part of anything that you could buy, and people wanted it for that short period of time. So now it's essentially in the vault. You're going to see a Jordan 2 here or there, of course, but it's not something you're seeing every single weekend. Let's focus on Jordans and also on Nikes, because if we look at both of these companies and both of these lines here, there are a lot of models, in my opinion, that would benefit from something like this. Now, I'm not saying that we should put them all in the vault at the same time, but let's say we started with the most coveted models and sort of work our way down the line. Let's say starting in 2025, I believe these are some of the models that Nike should consider for vaulting. The Jordan 1, the Jordan 3, the Jordan 4, the Jordan 6, and the Jordan 11. I think almost everybody would agree that these are some of the most popular Jordans. We see a ton of them. I mean, look at the Jordan 11 that came out last December. It took a while to sell out. That almost never happens. And I think this year we may get another one in the Columbia 11s. I'm really curious if that's going to sell out. There may be enough nostalgia to make it sell out, but I'm just saying, imagine if one of those five models went into the vault and we couldn't get a Jordan 1 for 5 to 10 years. What would happen when we actually could get it? Either one of two things would happen. We would either forget about it, or it would be so hyped that we'd have to have it. How about the Air Max 1, Air Max 90, Air Max 97? Those are some of the most popular Air Max models. The Nike Dunk at this point has been so oversaturated that it's just has lost a little bit of that luster. Even the SBs in the collaborations just haven't been that great. To me, though, if you're going to do this, there is a sweet spot, and the sweet spot is having enough of these that people still care about sneakers, and you want to make people miss them. So you can't put them all away at once. You can't put them away long enough that people will forget about them and not like them. I don't think people will ever forget about Jordan 1s, 3s, 4s, or even 11s, 6s maybe. The Air Max 1, people may forget about it because, as I said last week, I don't know how people feel about it. Nike Dunk, though. Nike Dunk went through a long period where we didn't see a lot of dunks. And now we just see dunks all the time. And it's like, how many of them could we possibly need? I think if you look at Jordans and how the retros release, I'm talking about the OG colorways release, how many years are in between, I think that if you take that kind of a model, so a lot of times the OG colorways will retro, what, once every 5 years? Let's call it 5 years. I think people will still remember it because I think that there are enough people who have that shoe who will continue to post about it on social media, and I think that that will keep it alive. The whole point of this is not to make sneakers less available. It's to sort of rekindle this love that we have forgotten about them. Now, I'm not saying that everybody listening here has forgotten that Jordan 1s are awesome, but when you see so many of them, you have to admit that you don't feel the same way that you did about them 10 years ago. And imagine what would happen if we locked it away for a while. You could focus on other silhouettes. The companies could actually start putting actual resources into these shoes that have been forgotten, that they have actually been not doing a good enough job giving us quality releases on. And that's the whole point of this. Overall, this should make sneakers more desirable as a whole. And hopefully, by the time the younger generation is old enough to get into the game, perhaps the popularity of these models will have grown and help keep the culture going. Because I know that if I'm here to say, hey, when I was growing up in this culture, I could get Jordan 1s all the time. You can't do that. You actually have to wait for them to come out in 2028 or whatever year you want to use. I think that that would actually add an element to it that would make it exciting. And then when it came time to cop some of these shoes, we would all have to be on our game. Nike could actually be on their game in terms of materials. Give us the opportunity to cop them for an entire year and then close them off in the vault, and we'll see you again later. I think that's a great idea. And speaking of releases and shoes that we all want, let's get to the release of the week. Release of the week, where I like to highlight a shoe that has caught my eye. It's not always hype. Sometimes it is. It's just something that I want you to know about. So this week, we're going to stay in the Nike world, but we are going to stay with a basketball shoe, and that is going to be the Book One, and it is called the Hike colorway. Snakeskin, croc print swoosh and panels, nice looking materials on a shoe to me that has really big Air Force One vibes. I hear it's pretty comfortable. I have not been able to cop a model of this yet. I really like the blue ones. Obviously, there was a super rare orange pair, and now they're coming out with some of them. These are going to release at the same time as, I believe, the Haven colorway, which is an ode to his dog. They're going to be $150. Book ones to me should be easier to get from now on. So if you want one in your collection, make sure you don't miss out. If you don't like these, there are going to be more. Put them on your list. Make sure that you are looking at them. $150 really isn't that bad. And I think, honestly, you could style them anyway and you could ball in them because Devin Booker does and he does just fine. So I think that this is something you should look at. How do you feel about the idea of Nike creating a sneaker vault? And do you think this would be something that would get people more interested and more hyped about models that they haven't seen in a long time? Get in touch with the show. Instagram at Fire Footwear Pod is the handle. TikTok at Fire Footwear Pod. Facebook, Fire Footwear a Sneaker Podcast. YouTube, Fire Footwear a Sneaker Podcast with Matty Ice. And we are, of course, on every single podcast app. And whatever it is that you listen to, you can find us there. Just search for Fire Footwear, and I will be probably the only one that comes up. Please support the Matty Ice Media Network, MattyIceMedia.com, for all the other podcasts that we have. Hope this finds everybody well. Hope this finds everybody safe. Fam, I appreciate you every single week. I'll talk to you next week. This is Fire Footwear. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on Fire Footwear are those of Matt Freights and his guest, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Fire Footwear is exclusively owned by Matt Freights and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.